Alpha distribution ministry presents Brother Julius Adelmi with faith building messages for the end times. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Father, we plead the blood of Jesus upon us. Teach us your self-law and give us your word to the glory of your name. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Open with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Like I said, it's going to be words of encouragement and words of exhortation. All that we have been doing, the Lord wants us to keep on doing great things for the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I will read verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. The title of this exhortation will be actually sowing and reaping. Amen. And I would like actually to come closer to you guys here. The Bible said, whatsoever we shall sow, whatsoever we, a man shall sow, the same shall he also reap. In that Ecclesiastes chapter 11, he was talking to us about casting your bread upon the waters, means keep sowing good things. In fact, in the children's version, he said, keep doing good. He said, do good wherever you find yourself, and the good that you do shall come back and help you. That is what it means to cast your bread upon the waters. But this exhortation of sowing and reaping, I want to give two stories in the Bible of people that really sowed righteousness. They sowed the good seed and the good reward that they received from the Lord. Let's look at the story of Jonathan, the son of Saul. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 19, Jonathan, the son of King Saul. We all know the story of King Saul. After he knew that David has been anointed king, he wanted to kill David. However, Jonathan, the first, praise the Lord, Jonathan, the firstborn of King Saul, he loved David so much and he didn't want David to be killed. And Jonathan gave some good exhortation for us that we could learn from in chapter 19. Let's read verse 1. Jonathan made a covenant with David when David was still just serving King Saul. And then, when Saul promised and told all the people that they should kill Jonathan, they should kill David, Jonathan told David and said, my father wanted to kill you. And he tried to plead for David. At a point, King Saul actually was mad with his son Jonathan. He said, as long as David is alive, you will not become king. Jonathan was satisfied with that. He wanted to just let David be king. But King Saul didn't want. But you can see the love that Jonathan was sowing. He was sowing love into the life of David. Let's read one or two Bible verses. In chapter 19 of 1 Samuel, verse 1 to 4. Read it out loud if you see it. Jonathan, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee. And what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against thee, And because his works have been to the world very good. So the King Saul changed his mind at that time, but the devil didn't leave King Saul, so he still wanted to do this thing. In chapter 20, we can also see another. What we are pointing out here is somebody sowing good seed. And what is a good seed? And we're going to go to some Bible verses. Say, sow unto yourself righteousness, and you will reap mercy. This is, I'm just pointing to these examples of where Jonathan sowed into the life of David. In chapter 20, verse 12, here Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father, this is another time, he wanted to go tell his father again that what happened. He said that I'm going to come back and tell David whatever Saul wanted to do. So in the end, verse 12 to 16, verse 16, let me just go to verse 16. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him. For he loved him as he had loved his own soul. So you can read all those stories about the life of Jonathan, the son of King Saul, that he loved David so much and he was showing love and compassion and delivering David from all the atrocities that King Saul wanted to do when he had the opportunity. Now, how did he reap the rewards? The Bible says, whatever you sow, you shall reap. In fact, the scripture says, you sow unto yourself righteousness, you will reap mercy. After Jonathan died, King Saul died, and the throne went back to David. David remembered. Just like the Bible says, cast your bread upon the waters. Waters is just like the flows of mankind. It's represented by water. David remembered all that Jonathan did. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, let's see where Jonathan started reaping the reward of what he has sowed. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 to 7. By this time, David has become king for many years. And one thing you have to remember about the Lord is this. God will never let you forget covenant. If you belong to him, he will not let you forget any covenant or anything you promise. I've always found out that the Lord will always remind you. If you promise your son something, you may think, oh, it's just a little boy. Take your word very seriously, especially you ladies. I say you ladies because sometimes the ladies may be a little bit quick to promise these little kids. But the Lord watches over whatever you say. If you promise something to your little boy or little girl, and you think, well, it's just a little boy, if you are following the Lord will hold you to it, because we are to be people of integrity. People of integrity as children of God, because we are to be like our Father God also, and we love to be like our Father God. So I always notice that every time, so that's why the Bible says it's better not to swear. Don't make an oath if you cannot make. So anything you say to those children, like a promise, oh, I'll buy you this thing, okay. When I come back, I will buy it for you, and then you try to ignore it. You may think you have forgotten, God will make you remember. So this is an example here. David, after many years, the Lord brought it back to his memory. You swear and promise Jonathan. They were all dead and gone. And then so David remembered, David said in chapter 9, verse 1, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? And you have to remember, they became like enemies for many years. The house of Saul and the house of David, they were fighting one another because Saul, another son of Saul, was made king to defy the promise of God to David. One of the soldiers just make one of the other sons of Saul that was left. So there was war between them. But after that settled down and everybody came back to David, and David now was king over the whole land, maybe many years later, David never forget this promise, because God will remind you. That's why I bring that one in. Remember your word, just like our God's word is. He said that his will is in his word, and his word is his himself. The same way, let your word be strong and mighty, and let your word be what you watch over to make you a person of integrity. So David said, is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And then they called somebody, and he came and said, oh, Jonathan had a baby, a son that was lame, that was 3. So Ziba, one of the servants of Saul, came and said, Jonathan had yet a son which is lame on his feet. And his name was Mephibosheth. So they called for Mephibosheth and they brought him, but he was afraid because it's like this enemy, this family against that family, they have been enemies. But when he came by, you know, David promised and said, verse 7, David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Just imagine that. Who knows how that man has been living crippled for years. Now he's now almost a big man, a old man. And then he became one of those that will be eating on the table of the king, like the sons, he said, one of the sons of the king. So that was how Jonathan reaped the reward of sowing good into the life of King David, when he was still not a king. Let's go through some Bible verses and see what the Lord is encouraging us to do always. When he said, keep casting your bread upon the waters, that means keep doing good. Somebody may not look back to pray to give you the reward of that goodness, but keep on doing good. That's what the Bible says. It says, after many days, you will see that bread. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. Before I go to the story of the other person, let's read some Bible verses. In the book of Psalms, it also gives us some pointer here. In Psalm 126, it said in verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Yeah. Now think about that Bible verse. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Sowing that we are talking about is doing good. That's what the sowing is about. Just keep doing good. But to do good sometimes, it's going to be painful. That's what he said. You may be sowing in tears. He said, you are going to reap in joy. Amen? So, but don't give up. Keep on sowing good. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He went further in verse. He said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves within. Well, the psalmist was trying to make us to see that sometimes it's painful to do all these things you need to do, but there are good things. Just keep on doing it. You may even be weeping. He said, but you are going to doubtless come again with rejoicing. He was picturing some farmers that will go in the world, it's too cold, and they go ahead and do all the sowing they need to sow, because if you don't sow it right now, you will not reap. If you try to wait until the weather is clear, or until the cloud is clear, you may miss the opportunity to sow. And let's look at another Bible verse that actually told us that. In the book of Ecclesiastes again, that chapter 11, he went further and said, he that observeth the wind will not sow. And let me bring that down to our level, to the nitty-gritty of what we are talking about, is observing the wind. Well, they are using the allegory of the physical things to describe what we are talking about here. In verse 3 of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, or verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Literally, if you are a farmer, and you have to be waiting for, oh yeah, the wind is too cold, tomorrow is too hot, tomorrow is too cold, and you are not going to do what you need to do, because there's going to be some cold, there's going to be some hot. Similarly, if you are going to consider what some people didn't do for you, the reactions, or what you should have obtained, you didn't get, you refuse to do good. That's what he's saying. If you observe the wind, you will not sow. If you keep thinking, well, that guy didn't pay me back, the other fellow, I did something to them, they didn't even think about it, they didn't even remember. And because of that, you want to withdraw your hand from doing good, like God commands. So then you will not be sowing because you are observing the wind. You are observing the wind. But he said, keep on sowing. That's why in the first verse, he said, cast thy bread upon the waters thou shalt find it after many days. And verse 2 of that Ecclesiastes chapter 11, he said, give a portion to seven and also to eight. That is, don't stop at seven. I say, somebody say, if my brother offend me, shall I forgive him seven times? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Say, Peter, I didn't say seven times. He said, I said 70 times seven. Means keep on doing it, keep on doing it, keep on doing it, keep on doing it, keep on doing it. Amen. These are the good we are talking about. Forgiving, giving, helping, mercy, compassion, all of those things that the Bible commanded us to do all the time. He said, don't stop at seven. You say, well, I helped that fellow. No, after six, I'm done. I'm not going to do anymore. Bible says, keep on, do the seventh, even do the eighth, because you don't know which one is going to produce. And that's what he's telling us here. He said, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Don't observe the wind. In Hosea chapter 10, let's read Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Say, do good wherever you find yourself. The good that you do will come back and help you down the road. That's what Ecclesiastes chapter 11 translates to me. Hosea, the book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12. We are talking about sowing. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Sow to yourself in righteousness and reap in mercy. And now he went forward and said, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. So, even the fasting, the waiting upon the Lord is sowing. You know, so there was a time when the Jews, in the book of Isaiah, they do this monthly. They do this waiting upon the Lord monthly. And then they came and asked and said, should we continue to do this thing? Look like we are not getting anything out of it. And the Lord answered them back in the book of Isaiah that the monthly fasting you guys do, are you doing it for me at all? See, that's not the kind of fasting I asked for. It should be this and that and that and that. That is the one I recognize, not just punishing yourself and saying you are fasting. So you can do that, but you better do this one also. That is, he's simply saying that there will be a time when people get fed up with what they think they are doing good. And he said, well, should I continue to do this? What am I getting out of it? And he's saying, God will come and rain righteousness upon you, but don't give up. Do not give up. You have to keep on doing that good. So if you know that fasting is a good thing to do, and you say, I've been doing this for so many years, I didn't even get anything, should you quit? No, you don't want to quit. Maybe you want to figure out what perhaps you should have done better. However, sow to yourself righteousness, and you will reap that mercy. Because he also said in another place, he said, whatever you are doing good, like that fasting, you are actually building moisture. You are building moisture in the air. And that is in back to the Hebrew, to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, he said, if the cloud be full of rain, it will empty itself. Simply tell us, verse Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3 or so, or 2 or 3. So the good you are doing is just like building moisture. Verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. In short, he's telling you that, like we are saying, keep on doing this good. Keep on doing good. Keep on sowing righteousness. Keep on sowing goodness. Keep on showing the love of God. Keep on doing the works of righteousness. Whatever that work of righteousness is, fasting, praying, giving mercy. Say, don't give up. Keep on doing it. You are building moisture. And very soon it will be full of rain. Say, the cloud will be heavy and it will drop down rain that you are looking for upon you if you don't give up. So those Bible verses, think about it and meditate on them. James chapter 3. In the book of James, chapter 3, verse 18. These are Bible verses we should meditate on. And he said, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. But whatever we sow is what we are going to reap. In the Proverbs chapter 11, again, verse 18, let me read that verse really quick for us. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18. Sow to yourself in righteousness and reap in mercy. Keep on doing good. Don't give up. In verse 18 of the project, he said, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. There's a reward. God is going to give you that reward. Don't give up before you receive your reward. That is what he's telling us in that Ecclesiastes. Keep on sowing the good works. Let's look at another story of a woman in the scriptures that was sowing good in the life of prophet Elisha. In 2 Kings chapter 6, chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. But the Lord Jesus Christ says something. He said, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now, when you look at this story of this woman, the Bible calls her the Shulamite woman. In 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning from verse 8, and says, it fell on one day, Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. So this woman just saw this man of God and said, this must be a man of God. Most likely the woman was maybe, she had a restaurant, very commonly people that always give food like that would be like, she has a restaurant and say, oh, come on in, eat. And they say, well, no, you're a man of God, it's for you for free. But each time he came to town, or Elijah came to town, he would branch there and eat food. And then the woman was giving. That was called giving. She was just giving out of a good heart. Now, think about that. That is sowing in tears, because you say, well, let's even say she was selling food, and but when the man of God came for her, for him, it's free. So it's like sowing in tears. Say, well, gee, you can't keep giving your money, your food out like that, you know. That's what some people will counsel her. You can't keep giving things out. These are the visitors, you know. They need to pay so that you can make money. But she recognized that this man is a man of God, and she was like giving it to God. Many people do that in this generation too. They say, this is a man of God, they want to give. And she continued to give. Nobody knows how long that has been going on till Elisha said, wait a minute, this woman has been giving us so many things each time we come to this place. What does she want? Let's see, what can we pray for her for anything, or perhaps we can speak for her before some governors or kings? And then they said, well, she has no child. And Elisha said, well, we can do something about that. Let's pray for her. So Elisha prayed that the woman will have a baby. And it happened. The woman had a baby after a year or so by the prophecy of Elisha. She sowed in tears. Now she started reaping in joy. Praise God. So whatever we sow, the Bible says we reap it. That's what Christ says. They were recognizing that Elijah was a prophet of God, and now she started receiving the reward of ministering to a prophet of the living God. And after maybe 5 years, the young boy that was born was becoming a little boy, and something else happened. In about verse 16 of 2 Kings chapter 4, this is where the woman was reaping. Verse 16 is where Elisha prophesied and the baby was born. Now, in about verse, 30-something, the baby, in that same chapter, if you want to read the whole chapter, the baby one day got sick, went out to meet his parents and looked like, hey, something happened on the baby. He said, my head, carry him back to his mom, in verse 19. But he stayed with his mom for a few hours, hacking. His head was aching, and the boy died. Just a little boy, maybe 5 years old, no, 7 years old, he was able to go to the field to meet the reapers. And the baby died. The woman wanted to use her faith. She put the baby right where Elisha always come to that place. This is where the room where Elisha normally stays. And the woman ran to the prophet. The Bible said, sow righteousness, you will reap mercy. So she has been sowing into the life of Elisha. That was how the baby was brought forth in the first place, the prayer of Elisha. Now many years later, that same baby died. She ran to the prophet. And Elisha came back there and prayed, travailed in prayer for the baby to wake up. And the Lord answered, sow righteousness and you will reap mercy. Amen? That is what the Bible is telling us there. That was where that woman who had been sowing to the life of Elisha, she reaped mercy from the Almighty God. Let's read some other Bible verses. He said, whatever we shall sow, that shall we reap. But he cautioned and exhort us to keep on sowing and never give up. Keep on sowing the good that we are commanded to sow in life. Job chapter 4, verse 8, give us a good point to meditate on. The book of Job chapter 4, verse 8. He said, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity, they also will reap wickedness. You see, they plow iniquity and sow wickedness, then they will reap the same thing. Like the Bible says, if you are sowing, plowing is preparing to sow, not so. See, they that are plowing iniquity and sowing wickedness, they are going to reap the same thing. And that's why the Bible tells us that you're so good, sow to yourself righteousness, righteousness, righteousness. And then you'll be reaping mercy and reaping the good fruit.
Now, praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius Adewumi inviting you to accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you are a Christian that has been listening to this radio broadcast, I challenge you and I urge you to aspire to the goal of overcomers. Be zealous for more of God. Ask the Lord to increase your faith, to build you up spiritually, and pray for the gifts of the Holy Ghost to increase and intensify in you so that you can come to the stature, to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That is our goal as believers. Now, if you that is listening to me, you are not a Christian, or you are just a church member, you are a church goer trying to do good, but you are not really born again. You don't even know what it means to be born again. You are not sure whether you have been washed from your sins. I invite you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. And I want to pray for you right now so that you can be assured of your salvation, and so that your heart and your faith and your spirit can begin to believe the Word of God. The Word of God specifically says, anyone that believes in me, anyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has eternal life. You have got to believe that utterance of Jesus and then invite Jesus to come out, take over your life, because he gives a power into the believers that he call being born again. And it is this power that rejuvenates us from within, that makes us to be a new creature in Christ. The Bible said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 12. Now, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray, to bow your head and pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you died for me on the cross. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I renounce sin. I renounce Satan. I renounce all ungodliness. And I renounce all witchcraft and evil powers. And I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. Come and take over my life, Jesus, and fill me with the Holy Ghost. Wash me with your blood. From now on, I belong to you, Jesus. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for making me your child. Amen. Father, I pray for all the people that are listening. Help them, Lord Jesus Christ, to begin to follow the Word of God, to begin to read the Scriptures and to understand and obey it. And let them be filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive ye the Holy Ghost today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want you to write to me and I will send you some literature that will be edifying to you. If you have access to the internet, our web address is www.gospeldistribution.org. You have to spell that one out, gospeldistribution.org. Gospel distribution is one word. www.gospeldistribution.org. And you can send us email on the internet. Our email address is webmaster@gospeldistribution.org. webmaster@gospeldistribution.org. And you can also read all our literature on the internet freely. God bless you, and see you, we see you again next time, in Jesus' name.